Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Welcome to Jesus 911. Two-man car, believe it or not. It's a husband and wife team. Can you believe that? My partner, Ruben, he's off today. He's out doing some apostolic work, actually with his family. His mom is taken ill, so Ruben's out there tending family's business. So let's pray for Mrs. Nava. Let's just pray a heartfelt memorare for her, for the family's intentions, and also for her health. And just put her in God's hands and Our Lady's hands. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear us and answer us. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am so humbled to be here and to join you on Jesus 911 as a ride-along along with you, with my husband Jesse. What a privilege it is to be here on air and to just have a conversation with all of you.
That's right.
So what's our first call?
We got a good show, babe, today. It's we're going to be talking about the most intriguing story for men ever since, this story occurred. We're going to talk about David versus Goliath. We're going to really get into it deep. We're going to get into scripture and talk about all the nuances of David and Goliath, because I think this story, more than anything, is one of the most inspirational stories in the Old Testament for men.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what we want to do here. We want to inspire Catholic men to have that heart of David. And you'll see what I mean by having the heart of David. So, we're 10-8. We're 10-8.
Let's go.
Yep. So here's what I call the David and Goliath story. In more contemporary terms, I would say these are two men that entered the octagon. You young guys know what I'm talking about, that UFC cage. So the two men entered the octagon and only one man came out. That's the story of David and Goliath. So the story of David and Goliath is one of my favorites. Here's the question. Have you ever been made fun of by a big bully? Like, everybody has. I have. I remember when I was a kid. Sixth grader, eighth graders pick on you. Fifth grader, seventh graders pick on you. Ninth graders. Yeah. Hey, we've all been through it. So, it doesn't feel good to be taunted. Goliath was a huge man. Most dictionaries say he was probably around 9 feet 6 inches tall. Now, that's taller than any basketball player in the NBA. That's taller than Shaquille O'Neal, anybody that was in the NBA, past, present, or future. And what is he doing? He's cursing at God's people, the Israelites. And he's saying bad things about their God, which is the one true God. It's our God. Now, Goliath was the Philistine, and he wanted to settle the battle on a one-on-one contest so that many soldiers did not have to die. And he was asking for one man among the Israelites to come out and fight for them. But everybody was afraid of this terrifying giant because he'd never lost the fight.
Yeah, we want to keep in mind that at this point, David is just an insignificant kid who plays a harp to soothe King Saul. Because remember, when King Saul would fall into a depression, David at the time would play the harp to soothe, praise and worship music, Gregorian chant really soothes the soul. You all know that if you listen to that. David was not exactly the next Achilles or the King Leonidas in the eyes of his older brothers or anyone else for that matter.
Yeah, in fact, his older brothers had contempt for him. And, he was one of the youngest brothers, I think probably second to the youngest or something. So they didn't have much respect for him. Okay, let me give you a little bit of the narrative because we're going to get right into the Bible. You're going to hear the story verse by verse, and we're going to make some commentary because, again, Jesus 911, this program is geared for the heart of Catholic men. And this is a story that just rallies, you know, passion and faith and courage and valor and chivalry in Catholic men. Okay. So, 1 Samuel, it's a narrative that tells us about the tragic wrongs done by King Saul in contrast to the accomplishments done by David. King Saul's days, they were spent organizing Israel's militia to oppose the Philistines who were expanding into traditional Israelite territory. And King Saul does have some positive impact on the history of Israel. His were days of hard fighting and a life spent in a rough-hewn fortress. King Saul had neither palace, nor harem, nor government bureaucracy, and King Saul continued to defeat the numerous enemies surrounding this infant nation called Israel. And so the setting for this story of David and Goliath is one of King Saul's many confrontations with the Philistines. But this time, the two armies are facing each other across the Valley of Elah, some 15 miles west of Bethlehem. And the Philistines' secret weapon is a nearly 10-foot-tall giant named Goliath of Gath, who's so formidable in his armor that not even King Saul, who's the tallest of the Israelites, will face him in a fight. King Saul was afraid of him. I'll just put it plain and clear. The Bible tells us. And so every day, this giant named Goliath challenges any Israelite to single combat. And what's the prize? Freedom. If you lose, slavery. Slavery for the rest of the people who are resting on the outcome. But we have food that's brought to the three of the eldest brothers in the army by little David. And David sees this giant, and Goliath's defiance, it infuriates David. David is so confident that God could give victory over any Philistine, and David volunteers to fight Goliath. He tells the king the way he's killed both lions and bears with his bare hands. And David even says in verse 36, as we're going to read, he says, "This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." You got to love this kid, okay? So against all expectation, King Saul allows this young person, this youth, to fight Goliath with the fate of his whole kingdom at stake. King Saul says, "You got to put on this battle armor." David rejects to put on King Saul's battle armor, and he takes only his familiar slingshot. This is a common and a powerful weapon that was used in ancient warfare because an excellent slinger could propel heavy 3-inch stones at up to 150 miles per hour with deadly accuracy. And so the arrogant, profane-speaking Goliath is insulted to have his challenge, you know, he's being challenged to fight, and it's being answered by a skinny, inexperienced young kid. But David returns his disrespect for the giant with a promise to cut Goliath's head off and show that, as he says in verse 47, as we're going to read it, "The Lord does not save by the sword and the spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord." Those are the words that David tells Goliath. And so as we read the story, you're going to see that little David, he's a young man at this point, that's all we know, he runs straight at Goliath, and with a single throw, he kills the giant with a stone that hits him in the forehead. And then David unsheathes the giant's great sword and beheads him as the joyful, exultant Israelites fled across the valley to destroy the Philistine army. And David carries the giant's head and presents it to King Saul. And from this day forward, David became popular with the Israelite masses. In fact, David became so popular because of this victory that King Saul was driven to a fit of jealousy that he tried to hunt down and kill David. Anita, how tall does evidence tell us, data tell us, how tall was Goliath?
Well, according to the Complete Guide to the Bible on Reader's Digest, it said Goliath was 10 feet tall. He also, according to Illustrated Encyclopedia of Bible Facts, Goliath was 9.5 feet tall. And, you know, I think in modern day medical, the medical field would probably call them diagnosis of acromegaly,
which is probably
the overgrowth of hormone and overgrowth of the hormone from the pituitary gland. Mm. So that's a possibility. We don't know. All we know is that
he's
what the Bible
dude.
Says. Yes, or maybe he suffered gigantism, and that occurs in childhood. People are diagnosed with that. And again, that's also overactive and overproduction of the growth hormone in the pituitary gland.
Let me ask you a question. I didn't know none of this stuff. That's good stuff. So seems like he was like Andre the Giant from
when I think of Goliath, I think of him in WWE wrestling.
Right. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yes, he's passed away.
Let's, the first segment's done, so we're going to go real quick to a break, but we're going to get in the next several segments, we're going to get right into scripture, and you're going to hear this story from the Bible. If you've never heard it, this is one of those classics, especially for men. This is one story that, in my opinion, every man should read several times in his life, because there's a whole lot that you can draw from that, and so... You're listening to Jesus 911. Keep Reuben's mom in prayer. Say Hail Mary. Say an Our Father for Reuben's mom. She's going through a rough time right now. And just pray for the Nava family. Reuben should be back on Thursday. But my wife, Anita, she's in this radio car. She's what we call a ride-along. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. This is from Catholic Briefing, Catholic Intel. Put all this information in your war bag. And when you hit the streets, the purpose is to go out and evangelize and save souls. We're going to get right into the story of David and Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, basically the whole of the chapter. And I'm going to let my ride along, my lovely wife, Anita, share the story with you from the Bible, verse by verse.
Okay, let's proceed here. 1 Samuel 17:1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and Saul and the men of Israel gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them.
Let me just jump in and make one comment on verse 3. So you got bad guys and good guys. They're separated in this valley. There's a valley between them. This reminds me spiritually, that's what we're up against. You got the culture of life. That's the kingdom of Christ. And then you got the culture of death. That's the kingdom of Satan. So what you see in this story today is playing out right now in modern society. Take it away, verse 4, babe.
And there came out from a camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armored with a coat of mail. You know, there's that word, coat of mail.
What does that mean?
Okay, you know, I looked it up on the dictionary. It said jacket covered with or composed of metal rings or plates, serving as armor. So, you know, when you look at mail, you think of, you know, postage envelopes all over his chest. Just think about that. But that's not what it is. And he greaves. Okay, that's another word. What is a bronze upon his legs? What is greaves? That's a piece of armor that protects the legs. My husband, I remember when he was taking karate or teaching karate, they would put those shin guards on there, and they were padded shin guards, but these are made out of metal. So it's a different type of protection for the warriors back then. And a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders.
Verse 7.
And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. It's funny. He's Goliath of Gath, the most feared warrior of the Philistines. And then he has a shield bearer. For those who don't know what a shield bearer is, it's another soldier ahead of the commander, lieutenant, captain, king, or whatever. They're protecting. So they're the first line of defense. And they have less armor on them. So that isn't that interesting how he's the favored warrior and the most feared, but yet he has a shield bearer. What did you think?
I never caught that reading the story. So that tells me that David actually was fighting two guys. He was fighting the shield bearer that's in front of him and Goliath, who's an undefeated giant. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Let me jump in here, just say something about verse 11. God's people were dismayed and greatly afraid. In the Bible, God tells us 366 times, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." And so one of the tactics that the devil uses against us, he's been using this since the Garden of Eden, is he tries to trigger our emotion of fear. St. Thomas Aquinas, the Catechism, says every human being has 11 emotions. It's in the Catechism. One of the emotions we have is fear. The devil and demons try to trigger fear to petrify us from moving forward in the Christian life and the interior life, from advancing in a life of holiness. So again, nothing's changed. This is exactly what the devil's been using since time immemorial, to try to trigger that emotion of fear to just petrify you from moving forward. Verse 12?
Yeah. Before I go into verse 12, I'd like to also add to that, Pope John Paul II, when he was became Pope, that was the first things he said on the balcony: "Do not be afraid." So he reminded us that is what the first and foremost: do not be afraid. Just trust in the Lord. Obviously, he didn't say that, but I add that.
That's what he meant,
yeah,
right?
But that's what he meant. Yeah. So here we go.
Verse 12.
Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward, took his stand morning and evening.
Let me make a comment on verse 16. I find it very interesting that Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days. And can you imagine how demoralizing that would have been? And how everyone on both sides would have known that the Israelites clearly had no match for Goliath. But what's interesting is that David, hearing Goliath cuss out his brothers and his people every day, and cussing out King Saul as well, David was transformed from a kid to a warrior. After hearing Goliath curse and swear and blaspheme the living God for 40 days, so as I look at this, this was David's personal time of Lent.
We continue, verse 17. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take your brother's ephah." That's, ephah is a bushel. It's comparative to like 64 pints of whatever you're carrying. Of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See how your brothers fare and bring some token from them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. Again, there's another incident where God's people are afraid.
Yeah, once again, we see this resembles the Catholic Church today. We are the culture of life, the kingdom of Christ. We're battling against the culture of death, the kingdom of darkness. And what do they try to use? In fact, I'm just going to put it out there. What do the liberals try to use, and the modernists in the church? They try to use fear tactics. They try to bully, name call, ad hominems, docking. We're going to go to your house and find out where you live and insult you and your family in your front yard. Take down your social media because you're a conservative. The left, the kingdom of darkness, they've always tried to use fear to shut down God's people. You know, anybody who's ever prayed in front of an abortion clinic, I think we all have stories of things that have happened there. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. My wife is reading the story, David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, in case you're wondering where she's reading from. She's going to pick up on verse 25.
And here we go. And the men of Israel, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel And the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of Israel. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Let me make a comment on verse 26. What infuriates David, this young man, in fact, the youngest of all Jesse's sons, is not that his brothers and the other Israelite soldiers are cowards, okay? What infuriates him is that this pagan, uncircumcised Goliath is insulting the living God. And you know what you're going to see in this young man right here, David? You're going to see something that we need more of as Catholic men, and even our leaders. I'm just going to be honest with you. Our bishops, our cardinals, our priests, we need more courage, and we need more chivalry to confront the culture of death. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some good bishops out there that are making statements against, different dioceses. But we need more. But what you see David manifesting is courage. What is courage? It's the quality of spirit that enables the person to face danger without fear. And we also see David manifesting chivalry. What is chivalry? It means bravery and military skill. It means generosity in victory. It means piety towards God and courtesy towards women. Chivalry is a term that was coined in the Middle Ages by Catholics, but it really identifies David in this story.
And we continue on verse 27. And the people answered him the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, What have I done now? Was it not but a word?
Jesus 911, husband and wife, two-man car, husband and wife cop team out there, cop, Catholics on patrol. We're on soul patrol. My wife is reading the story, 1 Samuel 17, if you want to follow along with us, and we're making comments that specifically are intended for men. We'll be right back. David and Goliath.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, husband and wife team. Has there ever been a husband and wife team out there on patrol? I've heard that there has been. I've never seen it, in fact, but I do know this. You remember the Rodney King arrest? That happened back, I think, 1991, I think. The Highway Patrol radio car that was chasing Rodney King on the in a stolen vehicle on the 210 freeway that ended up in Lakeview Terrace where the arrest went down, it was a husband and wife team. I do remember that. And what most people don't know, because they showed us the unedited video in the Academy, is that Rodney King came out of the car and the female officer approached him. He pushed her and knocked her down. Well, guess what? Her partner was her husband. Can you imagine working with your wife on patrol and a suspect pushes her and knocks her on her behind? I think you'd be pretty upset also. Well, this is a two-man car. Nobody's going to knock us down here. We are protected by more than battle gear. We're protected by the armor of God. As you can see right behind us, see that Bible verse? The armor of God. We're reading 1 Samuel 17. Let's pick it up, Anita, where we left off.
Yes. I'm just going to go over 28 because that was just that before the break.
Well, read 28 again.
Yeah, 28. I'll read 28 again. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?"
Let me comment on verses 28 and 29, okay? We see so far that David, he's the youngest, and he's clearly been the runt of the family his whole life. So this makes his courage against Goliath even more impressive. It would be one thing if the eldest of a noble family thought that he had what it took to square off with Goliath, but all his brothers were scared. David was the youngest of his eight brothers, who up till now has been in charge of watching his father's sheep while the quote, real men wage war against Israel's enemies. But it's funny. Here we have the youngest showing up the older brothers what it means to have courage and chivalry in the Lord.
You know, I want to add also, I think in this this verse, we're showing the elder brother attacking his brother. Do you think that was a spiritual attack? Could be. Could be. Because he's discouraging him to come. And he also, when David responds, "Was it not but the word?" Could it be the Lord speaking to David at that point, saying, "I need you to go down there. You're my only hope." So I think maybe could that be the beginning point of David's courage to go and just follow what the Lord says. This is what he wants me to do. You know, all of us at one point in our lives, we have this innate sense, the sense of the day where the Lord asks us to do something. And although there's those that discourage us.
Right. And here's also one thing that I would say, Anita. I think we see that all through salvation history. The way God uses the weak to shame the wise. In other words, you would think that God was, okay, who's God going to use to fight against Goliath? Well, of course, King Saul, he's the biggest, the tallest Israelite. He's big, he's muscular, he knows how to fight. No, God uses a shepherd boy. He uses, as St. Paul says in to the Corinthians, he uses the weak to shame the wise. He uses the weak to shame the strong. And that's what we have here. And that's why we know that ultimately we're going to win. The culture of life is going to win the culture of death. Although we're outnumbered, we don't have the mainstream media on our side. We don't have Congress and these liberals on our side. We don't have George Soros on our side and all these billionaires. We have Jesus on our side. So ultimately, though we appear to be taking a shellacking, we're going to win at the end. Let's pick up the story here.
Yeah, here we go. Verse 30, for those that are following along. And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when they came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. There's that word again. And David girded his sword over his army, and he tried in vain to go, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I am not used to them. And David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five small stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag or wallet. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Whoa, whole lot of stuff there.
Lots of stuff.
Let me just give some comment from about verse 33 to 40. Okay, this is actually a very sympathetic portrayal of King Saul. In contrast to later events, initially, King Saul doesn't want to let a young man get slaughtered by Goliath, but then David speaks so boldly that King Saul gives it a shot. In fact, in verse 37, Saul tells David what every Catholic hears at the end of Holy Mass. He says, go and the Lord be with you. In other words, after we receive God's grace, his strength through his word and through the Holy Eucharist, we're sent into the world for spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. Let me say something about verse 37, okay? David wasn't some fake superhero for Marvel Comics, okay? He was just a young, brave boy, and he knew that God protected him from the bears and the lions that tried to steal the sheep he was guarding when he was a young man. In fact, he says that one time he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. David started his career as a warrior against Goliath. And David was the best warrior in all of ancient history. David was better than Achilles, the Greek warrior. He was better than King Leonidas of Sparta. He was better than Prince Hector of Troy. He was better than General Maximus, the Spaniard and the Gladiator. He was better than William Wallace, the Scottish soldier and patriot of Braveheart. The Bible says that David had slain tens of thousands in battle in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, in the next chapter. And although Goliath had a suit of armor, and all David had was a slingshot and five smooth stones, and his shepherd's staff, King Saul tried to get David to wear armor to protect him. But it was very heavy, and David never tried to fight with it on before. So he left it behind and trusted God. He basically said this, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. Let me jump to verse 38.
Jesus, I trust in you. Yeah, right there. Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah, there it is. That's the divine mercy before St. Yeah. Faustina. Verse 38 and 39, I love this part. Saul thinks he's helping by giving David his armor, another battle gear, but obviously David can't fight Goliath in the standard way. He'd get destroyed. David never fought with this battle gear before. He's a young guy. Doesn't even fit him. David's advantage is that he can sling a rock while Goliath doesn't perceive any threat. And David needs to be unencumbered with that heavy battle gear so that he can let that rock fly. And we'll pick it up back with the story. And what verse did we pick? Verse 41, yeah.
We begin with verse 41.
Yeah.
Here we go. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David and his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and comely in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks?" So he was pretty upset about that, huh?
He was insulted.
Absolutely.
Like,
he was insulted.
Like, is this the best you guys have, Israel? You're sending a kid to do a man's job?
And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that is all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hand."
Talk about a rally cry. Talk about,
confidence.
Yeah. Wow. Talk about a D-Day invasion, you know. And I like in verse 47 that David says, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear." The word assembly is the Greek word church. David is preaching to the Old Testament church. Saying the same to us. We'll be right back picking up David and Goliath with a husband and wife, two-man car.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, "I want my husband to be on fire for the faith." Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol two-man car, husband and wife team. Doesn't happen very often, but there is some in the 50 states of this great nation. There are some husband and wife teams out there on patrol, so we're probably an anomaly. We're talking about one of the most powerful stories for men in the Bible, 1 Samuel 17. It's the story of David and Goliath, and they're just so meat, so much spiritual meat and potatoes for all of us in this story. Even women dig this story because. What, you think women are not soldiers of Christ? Absolutely, through confirmation. Guess what? You are too. Every woman is supposed to be out there, you know, swinging her sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and advancing forward and evangelizing and defending Holy Mother Church as well. So this story applies to everybody because at confirmation, every single one of us became part of the church militant. We're at verse 48 of the story, and we'll wrap it up in this segment.
Here we go. Verse 48. We continue. When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David.
Let me jump in and make a comment on verse 49 and 50. This is pretty meaty right here, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, let me go to verse 40 and 47. In verse 40, this is kind of an interesting part because David grabs five stones, and even though he kills Goliath with the first one, the five stones can stand for, spiritually speaking, for the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So he killed Goliath with the Torah, the Word of God. The five stones can also stand for us as Catholics, New Testament Christians, for the five decades of the Rosary, which is the meditation of the life of Christ. It can also stand, the five stones can also stand for the five senses of Goliath that were hardened against God. David totally trusted in the Lord, and he knew the Lord would deliver him victoriously. And this is a classic story of the way the Bible says that the Lord will use the weak to shame the powerful. Now, here's some spiritual exegesis on my part. The five stones against Goliath that we should use today are, number one, prayer with the heart, the rosary. Number two, frequent reception of the Holy Eucharist. Third stone, daily reading of the Holy Bible. Fourth stone, fasting. At least on Fridays, as the code of canon law says, on Fridays should be a day of penance throughout the year. You want to do an old school fast, it's Wednesdays and Fridays. Fifth stone, monthly confession. And on verse 47, I do want to say this, that when Goliath saw that the Israelites sent a boy to fight, he made fun of them. Because he's like, are you kidding me? Is this the best you guys can do? Then he told David that he was going to rip him apart and feed him to the birds and the beasts. And David answered bravely and told him that God would get the glory. Can you believe it? This is impressive. David gave a testimony right on the battlefield in front of everybody. Wow. Look what he says in 1 Samuel 17:47. He says this, quote, "And that all this assembly," that's church, "may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." That's witnessing in front of the entire battlefield the truth about God. Take it away, babe.
Here we go. Verse 51. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner, commander-in-chief, took him and brought him before King Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 48 and 50, let me make a comment here. Now, David didn't have a slingshot like you may think. It wasn't a Y-shaped stick with a rubber band between it. It was a rope with a small pouch on the end, and you would wave it around in a circle to get the speed you needed to release the stone. When Goliath came at David, David didn't get scared and run away. In fact, David went straight forward at Goliath instead of running back. He took out a smooth stone from his shepherd's bag and placed it in the sling, and then he slung it at the giant and hit him squarely in the forehead. The stone had been a mighty weapon after all. It went into his skull and killed Goliath. Then David went and took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. And by the way, this cutting off of the head, you know, this is kind of a precursor of what Mary did to the devil. She crushed the skull of the serpent in Genesis 3:15. And she continues to crush his head through all salvation history. But when David cut off the head of Goliath, that scared the Philistines so badly that they ran away in fear. And they were chased by the Israelites out of the land. Now, here's something also very interesting. Here's my theory. Why did the rock hit him in the forehead? And why did he drop dead when the rock hit his forehead? The forehead for the Jews was very sacred. That's why the Jews will prostrate in synagogue and in temple, and they touch their forehead to the ground, much like Muslims. Okay, Muslims copy the Jews. It's not something that they've invented. They've copied the Judeo-Christian tradition. And the Jews, even the Orthodox and the Hasidic Jews, they put a Bible verse on their forehead with a string. It has a little box, and they have it tied around with a string on their forehead when you go to the Holy Land, the Hasidic Jews and the Orthodox Jews. And it has a Bible verse, and it's Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So they'll wear it around their head, this little box, just to remind them that they're supposed to keep God in their head. And they have it right on the forehead. And so even when we as Catholics make the sign of the cross, what do we bless? Our forehead. Because the forehead represents the mind, we're supposed to love God with our mind, and Goliath hated God with his mind. This is why the stone struck his forehead, which means it struck his mind, that place that was hardened against God, and that's how God took him out. Now, here's the last thing I'll say. I'll turn it over to my wife so she can make some comments. All of us have fears and enemies. Who's the Goliath in your life?
You know, I'm reading the story, and I'm just imagining, as Catholic Christians, and me in particularly, we're all Davids in a sense. You know, we all have a Goliath to slay. And when David is running towards during the battle, and David is swinging his sling, ready to unleash the stone, that's us going to confession. That's us going to go and slay our Goliath in confession. And once we have slain that the Goliath that we're struggling with. Now the Lord is being now
because of armor. I think.
Yeah, become our armor.
Yeah, he becomes our armor.
And now we're able to approach our Lord and give Him victory.
Amen.
Victory.
Yeah.
Victory, because we have slain the Goliath, and every day, and it's through confession.
Prayer,
and your prayer, your sling is your rosary. We got to sling, men. I know this is a man's show, so I got to talk to you, men. Not that I.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful to see a man praying a rosary.
Yeah. Amen.
When you see thousands of men, I go with my husband to men's conferences and see all these men praying the rosary. It's just so beautiful to see that, and it's like, wow, you feel protected. Do you not know your prayers are not only protecting your own nuclear family, your family and your home, but you're protecting other women through your prayers and through the rosary? That's your sling. Keep slinging it every day.
Good comments. Words of the wise. You know, all of us have fears. What's your Goliath? Okay? Sloth, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, avarice, pride. We all got Goliaths, but the battle belongs to the Lord. We got to trust in the Lord, as St. Faustina says, as King David says. And, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Jesus is always with us to protect us and to give us courage. We only have to remember that the battle is the Lord's, but we got to be part of Team Jesus. How? Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And when Jesus gives us the victory, let's be sure to thank and praise Him for what He has done. Remember, in this life, you are not alone. I get it. There's adversity. There's Goliaths out there. There's challenges. But guess what? We've got a mighty warrior. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we've got a 12-star general, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have nothing to be afraid of. Unite your prayers to the heels of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she will crush the head of Satan. Unite your prayers to the sword of St. Michael the Archangel, and he will slay the dragon. And invoke the precious blood of Jesus in your prayers every day. Receive the sacraments as often as possible. Sharpen your slingshot, the rosary. Use it every day. Sling those precious stones into the world and slay all those dragons out there. Honey, comment?
I just want to mention one thing. My husband's always had a model, and it's love God, save souls, and slay error. That's him. And those are the three. Isn't that funny? Three represents the Trinity.
Yep. I've been saying that for years. Love God, save soul, slayer. Two-man car, husband and wife team. I know that doesn't happen very often, but I'm glad you're here today, babe. We'll have to do it again.
What a pleasure it is to join you here on Jesus 911.
Ruben will be back Thursday. I'll say a little prayer for him and his mother. He's out there taking care of some family business. And we're 10-7. We're off duty. Up next, Gary Machuda, one of the greatest apologists in the Catholic Church, taking you to the dojo, the apologetic dojo from the Midwest Command Center in some underground bunker over in the Midwest somewhere. See you tomorrow, same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Love God, save souls, slay error.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.